Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Spanish Film Festival.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio in conversation with Benjamin Zecola, the artistic director of the Spanish Film Festival. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Ben, and thank you very much for having time for Fred.
It's always a pleasure to talk about films.
Yes, indeed. So, Ben, I would like to start with acknowledging that this is the 24th edition of the Spanish Film Festival, which follows a couple of very difficult years for cinemas. So I think the opportunity to go back to the cinemas sounds like normality after 2 years of home streaming. And I believe is welcomed by the audience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was difficult for cinemas and difficult for anyone connected with film and cinema. And it was the same for the festivals because in 2020, festivals were being launched, tickets were being sold, then they were being cancelled and tickets refunded. So it was a big burden on administrators, and it was difficult for customers too. And one must remember how important it is that we make movie going seamless for customers. So it's been a real interruption for both businesses and the customers.
Yes, and absolutely. I have to say that I think all of us really enjoyed some home entertainment with home streaming, but going back to the dark room is a completely different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, home cinema is very, very important because it supports the star system and it supports, you know, the habit of watching movies. And I think people can watch a lot of films at home, like, you know, Spanish films, and start to understand the filmmaking character of the country. And then when the next edition of the film festival rolls around, like it is right now in Australia, there can be more of an inbuilt audience. So I don't see home cinema so much as a threat for cinema. I think it's more of a threat for TV.
I agree. And in fact, for cinema, I think is a good complement on what we can see when we go to the cinemas. So yeah. It's a kind of a win-win situation in some ways.
Yeah, it can be. I do believe there needs to be a theatrical window to give cinemas the opportunity to launch the film and for people to see it the way the filmmaker intended, and then later on down the track, watch it at home if need be.
Yeah, that sounds a great combination to me.
Well, we see in all of our film festivals in Australia, and we produce several film festivals, including the Italian, Spanish, Scandinavian, and German film festivals. Films that get a launch or get released in the film festival, when they subsequently have a theatrical release, the film punches above its weight. The films have got more awareness and more reach and more intention to purchase than if they didn't play in the festival. So it's really turning into a wonderful launch mechanism.
Yeah, and is a very positive cycle, I think. So this is like the festival nurture the subsequent general release of one particular film. So it's a very good cycle.
Well said.
Ben, let's talk about the Spanish Film Festival presented by Palace, that this year returns with a curated selection of 34 films, offering a journey across Spain and Latin America. It's screened nationally in Australia from the 19th of April. And the festival features two key program strands, New Spanish Cinema and Cine Latino. Would you mind tell us more about these two streams and about the festival program?
Well, it's an interesting problem because, you know, Spanish-speaking cinema is created across the world. It's created in Latin America, can be created in the United States of America, and of course it's created in the motherland, I guess we could say, in Spain herself. So we wanted to do a Spanish film festival that celebrated the Spanish language and not just Spain. So that's why it's opened up to Latin America as well, or anywhere that a Spanish-speaking film might be made. In fact, this year, two films were made by Australian filmmakers in Spanish. So it was a real pleasure and an honour to include those films. But our job, our mission is to find the top 10% of the films made. So, you know, there's some subjective quality assessments that are made. We watch hundreds of films, and from those hundreds of films, we choose 30 of the best as far as we can identify them. And then we present them here in Australia in a theatrical setting.
Well, how many films did you say, Ben?
Hundreds. I would have to total up the spreadsheets, but we see hundreds of films. Yeah.
Wow, this is a big commitment, even for you know film lovers. Hundreds of films to select.
We watch film. Yeah, almost every night we're watching a film. And you know, if I wasn't doing it for work, I'd be doing it for pleasure anyway.
I bet. Ben, I would like to talk about the opening night film, Official Competition, which is an Australian premiere and is a behind-the-scenes satire of filmmaking, a very, very enjoyable, a delightful film, and was included in the official selection of Toronto Film Festival and Venice Film Festival, and was also a nominee for Best Film at San Sebastian Film Festival. I always think that choosing a specific film for the opening night is a specific strategic decision by the festival director, the artistic director. Why did you choose Official Competition to open this year's festival?
Choosing an opening night film is one of the hardest jobs because, you know, you have a lot of different interested groups that want, you know, want to come to the opening night. We want to present the highest quality film. And I suppose our sponsors want the best fun film and the customers want the best combination of quality and fun and entertainment. Sometimes the best film in terms of quality can be too heavy for an opening night film. So sometimes we will set aside films that are too dark, too heavy or too pensive and use them as special events during the festival to make way for something that has a slightly more, you know, salubrious character that's more conducive to a fun party atmosphere. But Official Competition, you know, it's a wild and wacky movie. It pillories the film industry. It's a satire. And it's very funny as well. And it has such incredible star power. It really was a natural choice, I think, for the opening night film. But what I noticed is I saw the first time I saw it at home using a screening link, and I thought it was a good film. Then when I watched it again on the opening night, I picked up so much more. The micro expressions, the small changes in body language from the cast added to the comedy in so many ways, and the audience participation made it so much more hilarious. It was really eye-opening for me as a, you know, cinema professional to see the impact that it was having to present it in the cinema.
Yes, I agree with you in general, Ben, but I would say in particular for this film, since you are mentioning this, because I've noticed myself the use of facial expressions and body language, especially Penelope Cruz and Antonio Banderas, that was amazing, the range of different, very subtle expressions that they managed to convey, which really added to the satirical spirit of the film.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I was experiencing it as well. It was these micro changes, they were so subtle. And it gave me a whole new respect for both of them as actors, the ability to subtly convey those emotions and feelings, and it resulted in comedy.
Yeah, no doubt, a great film. So fabulous choice, I would say, for the opening night.
Thanks.
Ben, I would like also to explore with you one other selection, if I can say so, for this year's festival, which is the Goya Awards films that you have selected for this year's festival. So it's a group of six films which were either nominated for the Goya Awards or actually won Goya Awards. Could you please tell us a bit more about those films?
Well, I think, you know, the one that comes to mind for me straight away is Forgotten We Will Be, El Olvido Que Seremos. And it's an incredible film from Colombia, and it delves into the depths of some of the tragedies that were unfolding there. And I was just so incredibly moved by this film. I think it's a tremendously important film, and it's really wonderfully well made by Fernando Trueba, who, of course, is very well known. And it stars Javier Camara. And I think it was an incredible contribution. And it was in the Cannes Film Festival in 2020 as well.
Yeah, this is a very great film. I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed also Parallel Mothers, which is part of the same Goya selection. Great film as well.
Yeah, and there's another one called Maixabel, M-A-I-X, and it's a winner of the Best Actress and Best Supporting Actor in the Goya Awards. Another incredible film about an incredible woman in Spain, and she's a victim. Her family is a victim of terrorism, and the exploration of this theme to the point where she forgives her attacker and she meets and actually establishes a kind of friendship with the person who committed the crime. So it's a story of redemption and of forgiveness, and it's a true story, and again, tremendously moving.
Oh, that's I haven't seen this one, so thank you for highlighting this one.
Highly recommended.
There is another interesting section in this year program, Ben, which is a focus on Spain's most Oscar-winning duo, and this to celebrate Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem for their 2022 Oscar nominations for Being the Ricardos and for Parallel Mothers.
Yeah.
So they are very powerful couple when it comes to awards and
aren't they incredible? And we had
We
had a 30th anniversary screening of Jamón Jamón. If you can believe, it's been 30 years since Jamón Jamón. Also screening Loving Pablo and Parallel Mothers. It's a wonderful spotlight on this incredible power couple.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned Jamón Jamón, because I remember watching Jamón Jamón I think it was released in
1992,
exactly. So really, it is almost unbelievable that it's already 30 years. But I watched it again, and it's so current. It didn't age at all.
Well, yeah, I've got to see it again. I'll be fascinated to watch it again because, for us in Australia, it was quite risque when it was made as well. I think Bigas Luna is well known for that, but maybe kind of shocking to an Australian audience, but so brave as well and insightful. So I can't wait to see how it's aged as well.
And Ben, is there any highlight your, I don't know, it's impossible to pick your preferred films. I'm totally
yes, I
know that, but you can you? Because I can't.
You start on page one and work your way through. If you like thrillers, I actually really liked House of Snails, and we were thrilled it got some really good reviews here in Australia for its release in the festival. I loved a film called Camilla Comes Out at Night, about a girl in Argentina who moves from a small provincial town to Buenos Aires, which sounds like it would be great, except when you're, 15, 16 and you have to change schools and change friends, that's really hard, especially when you're coming of age and coming to terms with your sexuality. And the film handles this subject matter so beautifully. But I think, the female protagonist in the film, she's so strong. And she is in command of herself. And so I thought it was a really great contribution to coming of age movies.
Oh, interesting, because I was browsing the program and that film actually captured my attention, as well as another couple of films, The Year of the Fury.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, it's on my to watch list.
You have to watch the Year of Fury. You know, it's set in Uruguay, in the capital, in the 1970s. So everything looks amazing. The period detail is superb. But we're watching these journalists who make a satirical TV show, and they're coming under pressure from the government because they make fun of the government. And the government's becoming increasingly militarized and cracking down on journalistic freedom. Sound familiar? You know, so it's got such currency, and it's beautifully performed. And it's, you know, it's really about freedom and freedom of expression and the universal need for people to be free to reach their potential. And we're seeing around the world a lurch toward authoritarianism. And all the more important, you know, it makes a film like this all the more important to remind people that we have to stand up to authoritarianism.
Yeah, especially these days, huh?
Yeah, but it's a spectacular film. You know, it's a great film. It's a terrific thriller as well. So, you know, I think it's, yeah, I would put that on the top of my list as well.
Good to know, because I'm going to watch it tomorrow night.
Great. I'd like to know what you think.
So, Ben, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for putting together such a fantastic lineup for this year Spanish Film Festival.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
The Spanish Film Festival opened on the 19th of April, and it runs nationally in Australia at Palace Cinemas until the 18th of May. And I've been talking to Benjamin Zeccola, the artistic director of the Spanish Film Festival, and I'm Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.